This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, this is the last episode of VRAP for 2024. What a year it's been. This is, year 8 for us in the bag? Year 9 for us in the bag?
Yeah, well, we started early 2016. So,
This is,
I feel like legitimately now, I keep saying, you know, going on a decade, and now we kind of are going on a decade, so...
Very, very close. I wonder what the cutoff is for going on a decade. Can you say that after year one? We are going on a decade. This is the last episode.
That's a question
of the year.
For all realtors in their first couple of years.
So, how long have you been selling real estate?
Pretty close to a decade, I think.
Yeah. Going on 30 years experience. I should have learned that hack about 15 years ago. Here's the thing. This is a great episode. We cover so much of the calendar year where we're just talking about some of the best ideas that have come out of the show, where we are in the market, what our thoughts are on the year, and then, of course, where we're going. What's going to happen in 2025?
Yeah, biggest surprises, biggest takeaways, biggest trends.
You're a bit under the weather there. We should tell
people. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I am. And yeah, anything...
Anything that seems cloudy was cloudy.
Yeah.
And your energy
and most of it is cloudy. Yeah.
Your energy brought my energy down. So that's my excuse.
So I'm apologizing in advance. No, I feel like I really I rallied for this. So it's good. We're good.
No, it's a great episode. But before we get to this episode, Matt, a couple things we should talk about. Of course, we've got the MLA Newswire Weekly. This is a pre-sale update. Brought to you by the MLA Canada Advisory Team. This is a good one.
Yeah, Adam, the headline this week is Burnaby officially adopts TOA policies. That's transit-oriented area policies. And of course, these were provincial mandated policies that Burnaby has now adopted on December 2nd. So it is now municipal policy. What does this mean? The TOA policies will allow a baseline of higher residential density uses for land within 800 meters of SkyTrain stations and select transit hubs. While Burnaby already has many transit-oriented developments, of course, think Brentwood, Metrotown, Gilmore Place, Lougheed, there are a total of 11 SkyTrain TOAs that will emanate from the new policy. This means we will likely begin seeing more large-scale developments in areas of Burnaby that aren't just Metrotown and Brentwood, which is kind of exciting. Similar to how Brentwood has transformed over the past years, it is likely this will begin happening in other areas of Burnaby as well. So something to watch for. And if it turns out like Brentwood, I'm excited.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Imagine. It's interesting because when you're looking out Vancouver towards the east, you can always spot Metrotown and you can spot Brentwood as being kind of these like urban centers, towers, obviously.
Right.
It'll be interesting when the rest of Burnaby effect.
It'll be like the skyline. Yeah, standing in downtown Vancouver looking out at the skyline.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. If you like that, you should subscribe to the MLA Newswire. This is a daily email roundup of the latest real estate news and market insights. Visit MLAcanada.com to subscribe today. Matt, we are also sponsored by SkyTrainCondo.ca.
Yeah, Adam, we have been doing this podcast for nearly a decade, as we've talked about, and we always ask our guests, and these are Vancouver's best and brightest, where would you tell your hypothetical niece to buy property in Metro Vancouver? The overwhelming response is always the same. Follow the SkyTrain line. That's why we're excited to introduce SkyTrain Condo Living. at skytraincondo.ca. It's the only real estate platform TransLink has licensed specifically for listings near SkyTrain stations. This aligns perfectly with everything we've been hearing from planners and developers on the show about the future of our region. So head over to skytraincondo.ca where you can browse listings by SkyTrain station, by SkyTrain line, or by city, and also get first access to exciting new projects transforming these Metro Vancouver neighborhoods. That's skytraincondo.ca. Adam, it's time to get on board.
Yeah, it's time to get on board for sure.
I just get on board with that.
Yeah, you could tell. Here's the thing. Here's a question for you. Before we jump into this exhilarating episode, what's your, you got a New Year's resolution?
You know what? I haven't thought that far ahead, honestly.
I'm usually off guard.
I usually do that on the,
you're
on the
a goal planner,
first or
though.
Second. I am a goal planner. I'm a little behind this year. I've been working like mad on skytraincondo.ca. So I.
All right. Well, here, I'll tell you what. We'll save our New Year's resolutions for the new year.
No. Well, now you've got you. Now you've got me. No.
No, I don't
come up with one. I can come up with one.
No. Fine. We'll save it for the new year. But here's what we will tell you: we are going to put together, in addition to having amazing guests coming on in January, we've got one episode we're going to be doing on goal setting. So that's going to be super exciting.
You heard it here first, and so did I.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's cut to our conversations with ourselves, the recap 2024.
Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it is also making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
Adam, we want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Soane House, one of Marcon's latest communities that features a West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced, Nordic-inspired design for architecture that endures.
Soane House offers 165 junior one to three-bedroom homes in West Coquitlam, integrating nature into the built environment.
Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's marcon.ca/soenhaus. Or visit the display center at Outpost in Port Moody.
We also want to highlight 102 and Park. With billions already invested in Surrey City's central development over the last 15 years, the time is now to invest in its future, Surrey 3.0.
Introducing 102 and Park. A simple, straightforward skyscraper featuring 376 homes. Quite simply, this is a once-in-a-decade opportunity coming soon to Surrey's central downtown plaza. This is the time and the place to invest. Register at marcon.ca/102andpark. That's marcon.ca/102andpark.
Marcon, building for life. Okay, Matt, so 2024 is nearing completion. I don't know if we're going to complete on it, though.
I'm trying to assign 2024?
Yeah, I'm trying to assign 2024 as well. Good.
There's
Lord.
A title. What? Yeah. I was going to lead off with a question for you. Are you happy 2024 is over? Strictly from a market perspective.
I mean, honestly, it's been an interesting year. I mean, we've had a good year. You know, I think I feel pretty grateful for the year that we've had in real estate here, because it hasn't been a super busy year in the market. And I think it's been a very challenging year for the development community. I think that's kind of safe to say, and everybody in the industry. But I don't know. I feel like we were kind of talking about this before we push record, but it's been like a year that's, obviously we still have high interest rates. We have affordability is a big challenge, but also a fear, like a feeling of paralysis created by overregulation in many cases. And then against the backdrop of Canada, you know, almost going out of business this year, it feels like in a lot of ways. It's been an interesting year, but not a very optimistic year. Is that safe to say?
It's almost been one of the biggest challenges of the podcast in 2024 is you don't know what you got till it's gone, right? Like we used to be in a ongoing environment where everybody talked about real estate all the time. Every dinner party you went to, anybody you met when they found out you were in real estate, it's like, how's the market? Oh my God. A lot of excitement around real estate. And this year we've had to contend with, I would say, a decided lack of excitement in real estate. And, you know, down to like even our last episode with Kyle Green, where you're like, can we pull something positive out of this? you know, so that as a year-end show, that's what we're going to try and do. That's what we're going to try and do today, I guess. Because there are green shoots. I do believe it's the darkest before the dawn. And I hate to say Kyle might have been that exact moment. He was the inflection point. Not because of anything to do with him. Yes. But I feel like we've bounced off the bottom and I'm starting to feel much more optimistic.
Yeah. You know what was actually made me optimistic is I actually had a chance to, I was telling you about this as well. Last week, I went to a dinner hosted by Grosvenor, which is a great developer, obviously worldwide, but in Vancouver, and got to see Bob Rennie speak at that. Actually got to meet him and chat with him. It was really inspiring. Put on, there was Chris Harburn was there, Mark Josephson, the VP of development, lots of people in the industry there. But I did feel like talking, like the whenever Bob talks, it's always inspiring and it kind of brings you back. And it's like, I feel like we have to go back to what we used to talk on the show all the time, which was kind of like the bedrock confidence in the market. Like there's some decisions being made that maybe you don't support or creating challenges in the market, but the bedrock confidence in the market continues to be there. And there's the, you know, I mean, Vancouver is still Vancouver.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? It's funny because at the start of 2024 in kind of thinking about this episode, I was looking back at what we've done on the show this year. And I think you and I did an episode called the Vancouver Thesis at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Which kind of outlines exactly that, right? Like Vancouver's still Vancouver. And that's not what we're going to sit here and say for the next half hour, that Vancouver's still
it's
Vancouver.
It's actually the opposite. But we're kind of recapping and just talking about the year and some of the surprises and some of the opportunities that have created themselves. But also like, you know, just generally speaking about this market and the year it's been and where things are going.
So Adam, getting to the market this year as a general recap, what was the biggest surprise for you in 2024 or one of the biggest surprises?
When I think about this year, and actually when I think about last year as well, I don't know what else could be thrown at this market, you know, to create downward pressure on pricing, and the market has still been resilient. So like the thing that surprises me time and time again in this market is just how resilient it is. And it's all the things that people said, well, wait till the interest rate goes up. Okay, well, yeah. That didn't fall. Okay, well, hang on a second. Wait till inventory increases. Okay, well, now we saw inventory increase. Sky hasn't fallen. It's unbelievable, this market in a lot of ways.
You know, it's funny. Like I was thinking, for me, one of the surprising things was that I did think, you know, and a lot of people sit on this show, once interest rates started to come down, you know, there's a lot of people on the sidelines. There's a lot of people waiting on the sidelines. Wait, it's going to be a pile back in. You know, everybody, stress tests and everything else are keeping people out of the market. And and I'm taking this in a slightly different direction, just so bear with me. But up until very recently, until October, like those interest rates didn't have any meaningful impact at all. So in some ways, it's like, it was surprising that nothing happened, right? Yeah. It was kind of a year of like waiting for something actually interesting to happen in the market. And until recently, nothing, it was like, oh, this should have an impact, and it didn't. But you're right. Like, let's go back to think about 2022 when interest rates started to increase and into 2023. Like I went back and just looked at some stats. And last year, so in 2023, residential sales were down by more than 10% from 2022 and over 40% decline from sales in 2021. So sales volume was way down, 23.4% below the 10-year average. This is in 2023. Right. And as you'll recall, we had Andrew Liss on the show, I think around this time last year, and he's the economist from now, I guess, Greater Vancouver Realtors. And his point was, listen, we've got all these headwinds and all these challenges, but what's keeping Vancouver buoyant is that we don't have any inventory. In fact, we're at historically low inventory levels, and it was like 9,000 listings or something like that. Right. And his point was, you know, we need to be around 15,000 listings to be in a truly balanced market. So whereas there was very few sales, the inventory was so low that pricing didn't really come off. And that was kind of the story of 2023. But as you kind of alluded to, 2024 is entirely different. We have sales volume that up until very recently was 20%, basically almost every month, 20% below the 10-year average. Okay, so right through the first half of the year and into September, 20% below the 10-year average sales. And inventory climbed like crazy. And I don't know, like Adam, do you have some numbers on the increases in inventory, which was like it, Andrew basically was like, it's impossible to get to inventory. Yeah, I remember him kind of saying it's almost impossible to think that inventory will get to where it needs to be. And lo and behold, by like May, we were there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And in April, it was a 42.1% increase in listings year over year. In May of 2024, we saw a 46.3% year over year increase. June saw us reach as many as 14,182 homes. And in October was 26.2% above the 10-year average in terms of inventory.
So I guess what to kind of flesh this out, right? We have 2023 with very little sales activity and no inventory. And the logic is prices haven't come off because we don't have the inventory. 2024, almost the third year of a very slow real estate market, we have inventory spike at to the tune of like 40%.
Right.
We get to those levels, basically, where Andrew Liss said it was impossible. And sales volumes still are 20% below. And prices don't decline. So, I mean, that to me is, you know, apart from how nothing kind of happened this year, what you alluded to, it's like, that's an incredible stat. And if you look at the Lower Mainland Residential Composite Home Price Index, we're in the last year, we're down, and this is, of course, all homes in Metro Vancouver and including the Fraser Valley, we're down, we're off 1.3% over the last year. And in the last 3 years, we're up 1.6%. So like, let's call it a flat market. 1% is not gonna, you know, nobody's dining out on 1%. So it just strikes me as an incredible moment in this market where after, you know, a decade plus of runaway real estate prices, we come to a place that no one thought was possible and prices are as sticky as they are.
Yeah, Matt. So it's been interesting to watch the stickiness of pricing. And I mean, really, based on the conversations we've had for the last year, you know, with a variety of smart people, what's your take on the resilience in this market?
Yeah, you know, just looking back over the last 2 years and what's been thrown at this market, and we haven't even talked about policy stuff yet or investors leaving the market. But, you know, I was thinking about what the debates were 5 years ago, 8 years ago. I don't know. I feel like there was always two camps, right? It was people that mainly were on our show. A lot of people from the development community were kind of like, it's all about supply. We need more supply. There's not enough housing. That's what's driving price growth and crazy appreciation. And we need to build our way out of this, right? And so supply's been the argument. But there was always that other camp that was like, just wait for interest rates to go up. It's an interest rate story. This is what's driving price appreciation. And there was kind of a dichotomy between the two. as I recall, and maybe that's oversimplifying things, but this is all to say, I think, of course, it's both, right? You can't have runaway pricing with interest rates where they are. It doesn't go on forever. There are cycles to every real estate market. But I do, this is all a long way to say, I do think supply is still an issue. And I do think we need more housing in Vancouver desperately. And I think that kind of foundation of a lack of housing, it really puts a floor in our market in a way that it doesn't in places like, say, condos in downtown Toronto, right? Where I think there's, you know, I haven't been following as closely as I maybe should have, but, you know, it's more of a free fall in a lot of cases in other markets. So I think supply is an issue for sure. But I kept coming back to what we talked about on our kind of recap show that we did five or six episodes ago. And what Brian, you explained about kind of the self-selection that goes on, or the self-selecting that goes on in Vancouver, as kind of an interesting kind of aspect to our market as well.
Yeah, but explain what you mean by that. So the self-selection housing market that Brian
had. Well, it was Brian Yu's idea, and basically he was arguing that there's a unique aspect of the Vancouver real estate market, and it's because it's so difficult to get into the market, the high cost of living and the required capital to get into the market, that it basically creates an exclusivity effect in our market where we're not in a situation where sellers, they basically have the wherewithal to weather storms and they have that established financial security. And this self-selection means that the people in the market have that established financial security to basically weather real estate storms.
Yeah. And one of the things Brian said on the show, and this is a quote, but quote, you don't tend to move to a market like Vancouver unless you have some financial heft. I wasn't aware of that when I moved to Vancouver.
And no, I also wasn't. I would have stopped at Regina, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But a lot of people that are coming here have the finances to be here, to buy, to invest in this real estate market. And then on top of that, a lot of the people that have been here, have grown up here, have been here for generations, have accumulated or had wealth to begin with, but accumulated wealth over time. And this is a thing that I love the Brian Yu comment coupled with Rennie's generational wealth idea, right?
Right, the wealth transfer, yeah.
The wealth transfer. And I mean, these are outdated numbers. And I just heard him talk about this the other day, and the numbers are substantially higher than this. But in 2006, the total value of mortgage-free real estate in Metro Vancouver was estimated to be $123.8 billion. That was 2006. Approximately half of that real estate was owned by homeowners between the age of 55 to 74, right? And now by 2021, the value of mortgage-free real estate holdings in Metro Vancouver tripled to $373 billion. And the amount owned by those between 55 to 74 increased to more than $205 billion, or 55% of that. So when you actually think about the coming years and how much of that wealth in clear title real estate will be passed on to the generations coming up in the market right now.
Millennials and Zs.
It's astonishing. So I think it's that, it's a combination of self-selection, but also just how much wealth is already in this market waiting to be redeployed.
Yeah, I think you're bang on there. It's hard to go through the last close to 20 years and look at one or two years that are clearly an anomaly, being the last couple, and decide, hey, it's time to do a fire sale if you don't have to. And like we've talked about, I don't think a lot of people are in the situation where they have to do a fire sale. So we've talked about surprises, but then the question becomes, you know, we had Ben Smith on a couple of weeks ago talking about, has the bottom hit in the pre-sale market? Have we hit bottom in the resale market?
Yeah, I would say almost a month or two ago. But I do feel like we're the resale market, I feel like is turning. And I don't know. There's signs of life. in resale right now. And I think a lot of people are optimistic about 2025. And it's hard to imagine. Like, we just, like, one of the things that we talked about in the intro, or we mentioned in the intro, is we just saw another 50 basis points cut yesterday, I think, and Wednesday of this week. And we're going into, we've had the last 2 months of the year, we've seen a significant uptick in sales volume.
Can I give you some numbers here, Adam?
Yeah, give me some numbers.
October sales, and, you know, not my language, surged 30, that seems loaded. Let's say rose 31.9% year over year. So there was over 30% more sales in October 2024 than 2023.
Yeah, November sales exploded 28.1% year over year.
And keep in mind, like, this is, you know, we used to say years ago on the show, when the market was ripping all the time and it was so, you know, dynamic and exciting, you'd say, are you finding it slow? And almost inevitably, maybe it would be on the show or somebody in the office. Hey, when you're going 180 miles an hour and you slow down to 120, it feels like you're going slow, but you're still going fast. And I feel like we're now in the opposite situation, right? Like, these October and November are still, we're still below the 10-year averages for Vancouver, yeah, right? So it's not like, you know, exploded, surged.
We're getting out of a school zone is what we're doing.
Exactly. We're getting out of this school zone. And, you know, we, you know, October line was, you know, 1 month doesn't make a trend, but November was up as well. And again, with that 50 basis points, I feel like there's a definite feel that we're moving into a better year in 2025. And the last couple months demonstrate that kind of trend in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I mean, if I had to put my predictions on the table, and we've had a lot of people over the course of the year make predictions.
Let's hear it, 2025.
Well, I think you can pretty much bet on continued volume increases in the new year, but not, like, I don't think we're going into the pile-on effect of, like, I don't think we're going to see, you know, a 20%, 30% increase in prices or anything like that. I don't think we're going to see multiples on everything. What I think we'll see is probably a market that favors sellers a bit more. We've kind of been in a more of a balanced or buyer's market. And I think we're going to adjust now to a balanced or seller's market in most submarkets. And I think we will see some price increases probably over 2025, and but more moderate, maybe to the tune of like 5%, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm with you. I feel like there's like, if October and November are any indication of how this market comes back, you know, everybody's on the sidelines. Not everybody jumps in at once, but we're definitely going to see better volume levels next year. And the good news is you don't have to take our word for it. We have lined up four or five, I would say, amazing prognosticators for the start of January on the show to detail their outlook. So stay tuned for that. But I think you're right. Like, we're going to see, it's going to be a better year than the last couple, that's for sure, in terms of sales volumes.
Yeah. Prognosticators. So the...
Look it up.
So I guess the other thing I will mention there, just while we're on it, is, you know, I think a lot of people will maybe share that opinion out there. However, people that have been in our market for, you know, two decades plus have watched the way that this city or this region watches real estate. And, you know, the joke is always real estate in Vancouver is a sport. And when people are still very much paying attention. And I do think that I'm always surprised at how quickly this market can change.
Yeah.
It turns on a dime. And I think that's the biggest thing to kind of keep an eye out for is if you are a buyer right now and you're looking and you feel like you can afford what you want to buy, but you're waiting for the golden opportunity. You want to be cautious to wait too long, because in the new year, if the numbers really start to show renewed interest in the market,
any fear of missing out hits the market. It's game over.
It's the snowball effect. And we've seen it time and time again. And it's almost irrelevant to the conditions. It's just when people feel, it's like that, if they see their friends buying, if they think it's a good opportunity, they're going to start moving. And it's, I've seen people miss out on this market before when they can't afford, but they wait too long. And it's not a good story.
No.
So
no.
But Matt, before we let's move on from this. Outside of the things we've already talked about, what would be your headline of 2024?
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
Well, considering we've talked about the market, and outside of that, I would say the big story is that investors have entirely left the market almost to a person is how it's feeling. And of course, that's a little bit hyperbolic. There's still some investors out there, but compared to what it was, I would say investors have left the building.
So if you're an investor, and you are, but why right now are you feeling the pinch in a region like Vancouver, Metro Vancouver?
Well, why
in the province, really?
Yeah, I can kind of talk. So here's just speaking personally, but I know this is what a lot of people are kind of voicing as well. Is I think it comes down to uncertainty in a lot of ways, and I mean that specifically thinking about policy, like. You know, and of course, we've done this a million times. You know, go back to 2016 when it's like, okay, from the foreign buyers tax onward, the number of things that have, you know, that have been thrown at this market, and it's like, you know, death by a thousand cuts type thing. But I mean, this year specifically, those residential tenancy changes where they pushed out the time to 4 months, where you had to give 4 months notice and then realized, oh, actually that doesn't make sense from a financing standpoint. Let's pull it back to 3 months. Like it feels like, you know, the rent cap increases that were modified a couple years ago after, you know, clearly defined parameters. The changes, obviously, to the Airbnb rules, the flipping tax, the raising capital gains. It just feels to me like there's uncertainty in that you're like, what else, what, like, what next? It's just like, when does this become not worth it to even be involved? And it, I think in some ways, that's what a lot of people are feeling right now. Like, you know, not to mention high interest rates, which Kyle kind of outlined really well last week. But I mean, it's not a mystery. Carrying costs have went up dramatically. Property taxes have went up dramatically. And then if you do have a vacant property and you're trying to rent it to top it all off, we just got the numbers in the last year, rents in Vancouver are off 8.9%.
Yeah, in a market where it's really hard to make rents, you know, even carry a property.
In the best of times, it was hard. Now it's impossible to even come close, right? So, I mean, all these things combined make for a really challenging environment. And, you know, I think it was always challenging in some regards, but people were betting on appreciation in a way that I don't think people are necessarily betting on right now in terms of those large gains year over year.
Yeah.
That can kind of make, you can put up with a lot if you're expecting, you know, 12 to 15% or even more. But, you know, I don't think anyone really thinks, at least in the near term, those are in the cards. And then you look at what the S&P 500's done last year and it's over 35%. You're like, wait, what am I doing?
But yeah, and then this is the other thing too, though. You think about people that are looking at, you know, potentially adding value to a property. Like we've done countless shows on how to add value to a property, whether it's your principal residence or an investment property. And now there's the flipping tax that's in place. And then federally, of course, it was proposed in the 2024 budget that the capital gains potential increase of, well, being 50% up to $250,000 annually and anything exceeding $250,000 at 66.67%. That definitely impacts people just generally across the board in Canada. But I think with an emphasis on a market that used to be a cap gain market.
Yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, that was Kyle's point last week too, right? It was like that that's kind of one of those sleeper issues that moving forward is going to have more of an impact than people even realize. So right. Yeah, it does feel like, you know, for all those reasons, you know, people are not super enthusiastic about investing in real estate right now in Metro Vancouver. But I did want to shout out, and this is past guest fan favorite Justin Smith. He's we just invited him back on the show in the new year, which we're excited about. And he posted this on LinkedIn, which I think I've mentioned is my recently fallen in love with my
ex.
This is my new ex.com. Yeah, formerly Twitter. Justin posted this, and it just made me think. It was so. His story was, he met with a guy who's been in the real estate game 40 years, and they were talking about, you know, the ebbs and flows of the market. And this is a quote from this industry veteran that Justin met. "Over my 39 years in the industry, I've seen people fall in love with real estate. I've seen people fall out of love with real estate. I've seen people fall in love with the stock market. I've seen people fall out of love with the stock market. People will fall in love with real estate again." That's what he posted. And it just made me think, you know, we're at a moment where, you know, it feels like there's been a lot of negativity, you know, and that idea of, you know, green shoots in the market in October and November. And I guess the question is it darkest before dawn? And are we kind of coming we're turning a page here, and is something going to change? I guess, I don't know. Maybe I'll put that to you, Adam. What are your thoughts?
I do.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I guess I'm not sure if I can really add to that, but what I do know is that money goes where it's loved. And I think the big thing.
Here's a question for you. Did Chip Wilson say, I know he said that. Yeah. Is that actually his quote, or is that like, or was it Winston Churchill?
Was it Chip Wilson or Winston?
Chip Wilson or Winston Churchill. Everything's, it's like always Winston Churchill who said it, or Teddy Roosevelt or Mark Twain. Those
Churchill
are the three.
Who called David Eby a socialist or what? I can't remember. I can't remember at all. Give me a second here. This is what I was going to, I was going to look that up. Who said that?
Money goes where it's loved. Money goes where it's loved. I love that quote.
Money goes
so where it's simple loved. And so true. So Adam, if I understand what you're saying, is now is not the time to be investing in real estate in British Columbia.
No, it's the exact opposite, Matt. I think what I'm getting at is, investors have left the building in a lot of ways, but I think there are great investment opportunities now because, you know, I mean, I think about low points in the market when people bought and then you see a big run up and 10 years later, you're like, oh, the genius that bought at this time. Well, that was the hardest time to buy, right?
And looking back, it's always like, I was there. I would have done, whatever. It's, everybody thinks it's easy at the time.
It's never easy. You buying Bitcoin right now? I mean, seems like a good idea, but it's not easy, right? It's not easy to anything where there's.
I can't figure out the wallet.
You're still working on the wallet. But here's the thing. I think that's it. It's like, it's complicated no matter what time you are in the market to make an investment. And it's even more complicated when everyone's talking about how there's investment opportunities, but people aren't buying. And I think that's the biggest thing right now is that it's that idea of be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. Like I really think there's really some opportunities right now that in the next 5 to 10 years, people are going to be looking back at and saying, I can't believe I didn't execute on that.
Okay. So then let's get to those opportunities. What are the opportunities right now in the marketplace in your mind, December 2024?
Well, let's talk about one thing because we've made a lot of calls over the years. One call that we've made so many times on this show is that downtown is an opportunity. And I still think, like, I'm looking at Yaletown, where we actually have seen prices come down in the market, you know, when we're talking about market resiliency, there have been some just incredible opportunities or deals lately that I've seen in Yaletown, and some prices down 15%, call it roughly, depending on what you're looking at, but some real great waterfront properties selling at really reduced prices. Obviously, we had Ben Smith. He made the comment about Cole Harbor.
It was the first time he was on the show. Yeah, he thought Cole Harbor, yeah.
But the surprise for me is that we've been saying this for a long time and downtown just hasn't come back yet. And I don't know if it's the hybrid work model, you know, the fact that at least reporting on crime is up and violent crime seems to be up, or random crime seems to be up. Scary crime seems to be up for sure. And the fact that we've talked about this transit-oriented development seems to be kind of creating these amazing hubs where people can get all the kind of sophisticated amenities of that downtown used to have a full monopoly on and no longer does, right? So it's you don't have to only go to White Rock if you live in a certain area now. You have amazing restaurants or whatever, right?
So. This is, and I feel like we talked a little bit about this last week, but it is, you know, before COVID and before kind of the push to the suburbs, I feel like we fundamentally thought about downtown Vancouver as kind of the center of the wheel and spokes headed out, right? And I feel like it was Scott Brown from Fifth Ave at the time talking about how the center of Metro Vancouver is shifting. And it was like towards Burnaby or Burquitlam or, you know, away from downtown Vancouver. And it was like an interesting idea, you know, but not necessarily one that everyone could see. But now I kind of feel like it's becoming more clear that these transit nodes are becoming, like you talked about in Japan, like these interesting kind of self-contained centers. And it doesn't necessarily feel, it feels like the kind of the horse is out of the barn, like in terms of going back to that downtown's the center of the universe model. So, you know, it's interesting to think about real estate values there.
The flip side of that is I've been everywhere in the region. There's a lot of pockets I absolutely love in the region, but downtown is not playing second fiddle to anybody. I mean, this is downtown Vancouver is still the most incredible place, maybe the best downtown in North America, or one of them.
Right.
I think hands down. I mean, it's incredible. It's walkable. There's the residential towers. There's the seawall. There's the 7,000 different places to get whatever organic vegetable you're trying to buy, or fancy coffee you're trying to drink, or whatever, right? But downtown is incredible. And I still think, and I mean, I was kind of saying this more so like, what's it going to take? But I still think downtown's an incredible investment. And I think there's people right now buying in an area, say like Yaletown, that are going to look like geniuses in the not so distant future.
Yeah, well, it's been down for a long time. So I agree with you. I think there's one thing that I can say with 100% certainty. I would buy Yaletown or Cole Harbor or anywhere downtown and feel very comfortable about my decision right now. That's for sure. Okay, what about other opportunities? So we got downtown. I mean, I feel like I want to go back to, you know, and not unpack Ben Smith's, here's 7 reasons why downtown or pre-sale has bottomed and it's the time to buy. I just want to say, to me right now, over the years, we've talked often about the premium you have to pay for pre-sale and how, you know, buy something near the development as opposed to the development, that type of idea, believe the hype or play off the hype. But in my mind, this market does offer some interesting presale opportunities. And I feel like there's 2 kind of clear plays. One is, you know, there's incentives being offered right now that unheard of, and there's deposit structures right now that I've never seen in terms of what's being offered here at the end of 2024. And I feel like looking for something with a really long completion and getting that incentive and benefiting from that very low deposit structure, you know, but still looking for something that's completing in 2028 or later, you know, and potentially be a master plan community where you're getting in early. That to me seems like a no-brainer right now. And I feel like that's more of a no-brainer than it's been for a very long time. And then I wanted to go back to another interesting point in this second kind of play, apart from kind of pushing it off as far as you can and benefiting from those, the incentive structure, is we're in a moment that I don't think we've been in a very long time, where developers that are, you know, finishing buildings or have finished buildings and still have inventory, and this goes back to Mill and Mann on the show talking about this, you know, they're having trouble getting those off their books. And there's a lot of developers that are really keen to move that product. So I feel like there's definitely an opportunity there where you can actually probably get as good, if not a better deal on that new construction than in any other area of the market right now. So, you know, we're talking downtown, but I do think pre-sales getting very interesting and new construction in general, because, you know, it's funny, we used to say go after individual sellers because, you know, developers generally have deep pockets and they're sophisticated. But I think after the last couple of years, you know, all those things are true, but there's some developments where, you know, I think they want to shut the door and move on. And there's some opportunities to help them achieve those goals.
Matt, we do have this segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions that we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
Oh, okay, I guess.
This podcast is brought to you by Spark, the new development sales and marketing platform.
Adam, the stakes have never been higher for launching a condo project, and today's developers and brokerage teams need to leverage the best tools in order to hit their financing thresholds and to sell out their projects.
Spark is an all-in-one sales and marketing software that includes a comprehensive CRM, inventory management, email marketing, and digital contracts. These tools are custom tailored to the pre-sale process to help you capture leads, increase inventory yield, and transact contracts seamlessly.
And here's the best part, Adam. Spark's team is headquartered right here in Yale Town, and they have over 10 years of experience in helping BC-based developers and brokers bring their projects to market.
So if you're selling a new development, you need to check out Spark at spark.re/VREP. That's spark.re/VREP. And remember, Matt, you can't light the presale world on fire without a spark.
By the way, we're going to probably change these questions in the new year.
Why don't we? I'll interview you. I haven't caught up with you about your most recent beliefs, behaviors, and habits. So let's start with question number one. What is one book that you've read recently that you would recommend for our listeners?
Believe it or not, I feel like I've said this one 1,000 times, but I'm actually re-listening to it for probably the 90th time. So I'll give you two. One is business related and one is not. The book I'm reading or listening to is The E-Myth Revisited.
Oh, yeah.
And I've literally going back to, you know, trying to take a small business and turn it into, use the franchise model and kind of take yourself out of the business. I'm almost done that. Like I said, for the millionth time, it's always just a good reminder. The book I'm excited to read actually is Traction. That's next on the list in terms of business books. Yeah, heard good things about that one recently. But the one I'm doing for fun, Adam, if you can believe it, I don't know if you even know this book. Have you heard of Sonny Boy?
No.
S-O-N-N-Y, Sonny Boy. Al Pacino's memoir just came out. I'm in the part where he's talking about getting the part in The Godfather. Yeah, pretty great.
Wow.
Did you know he was an alcoholic when he was young? I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, it's he grew up in the Bronx
I feel like that. Does he read it on Audible?
Yeah. 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 And he kind of talks his way through it, actually. I mean, some of it's a little bit, the early days are like, you know, kind of listening to grandpa tell stories a bit. But when he gets to acting, it's pretty good for sure. So I'm enjoying that.
He's a new dad, isn't he? That's right before. Man, when I think I'm an old dad at daycare pickup, Al Pacino, could you imagine?
I mean, he's literally talking about stickball in the Bronx. Like when he was a kid, it was like 1918. I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but he's about 1,000.
You know what? I was actually, I just had a quick conversation with Jack Bernard from Rennie the other day. And he mentioned the book Be Our Guest. And I'm going to actually just search it quickly.
Is that
Perfecting the Art of Customer Service? And it's by from Disney, Theodore Kinney.
Oh, interesting. Because I feel like, you know, I think you mentioned Chris Harburn was there as well. Like those guys are really, I feel like there's a trend to look at to hospitality books. Yeah. Yeah. It was the Canadian company. Anyway, great, great book for sure. But yeah.
All right. There's your Christmas reading from the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. Okay, the Al Pacino one, I like that. In the last few years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life? I think I know this one.
Give me a hint.
Well, fitness.
Oh, yeah, fitness. Yeah,
donuts, yeah. Donut in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would say I feel like that's definitely has changed my life. I feel like that's kind of a boring one now. But the other thing I've started is protein powder and a couple other vitamins mix that is, I don't know if it's improved my life, but it might be psychosomatic, but I'm feeling pretty good right now. So I'll take it. Fitness and my cocktail of healthy stuff.
30 grams of protein a day.
Yeah, exactly. 30 grams. I'm blanking on what else is in it, but it's pretty great. And actually, you know what? Somebody just told me, this is interesting. I have no idea if there's any merit to this. So I'll repeat it and see what people think.
The fact checkers will get it, don't you?
Yeah. So I was saying to somebody, hey, I have like a cold and I've had like maybe three colds in 2024. And I'm thinking, I don't know how many people, like what the normal number of colds to get, but three feels like too many. And this is the third one. So I was ChatGPTing it and I was mentioned it to somebody and her point was, no, it has nothing to do with the time of year or anything, why people get sick at this time of year. It's because you stop eating fruit. Like in the summer, you eat a lot of fruit. Like, and I was like, yeah, I eat a ton of fruit. And in the last, you know, it gets colder, you just stop eating fruit. So she's like, it's about what you're eating and how you're changing your habits due to the change in weather.
Interesting.
Like, huh. Because you know what? Like how many blueberries did I eat this summer? Don't even ask. How many am I eating now? Zero. So
really?
Yeah. Anyway, that's I'll leave it with you.
Leave that with me. So question number three, what are you binge watching lately or a movie recommendation?
You know what? This comes from the show, actually. I just started watching Justified, which is if you're into
Westerns.
Yeah, it's like the modern day, just like real hard ass. It's kind of the best. I'm only in season one, but like one of those ones I have to watch by myself for sure. You know, it opens with him being like, I told you 24 hours ago, I want you to leave Miami and you're still here. And it's like, you know, you're like, oh yeah, here we go.
It's just Mel Gibson payback. Just
oh yeah. Every episode is like a Mel Gibson payback. It's pretty great.
Nice. Okay, great. Favorite band or music?
You know what I'm listening to right now is Father John Misty's new album.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
good.
It's good.
It's good. And you know, it's his, I was thinking about it today. He's got kind of like, is he today's like Tony Bennett almost or something? He's got like a, really? You could all, well, it's really modern feeling, but you're like, this could be like a Vegas act. Like he could be a Vegas act too.
Yeah.
His old stuff was kind of like that too. Like it's always like that, but it's, it feels like a very, like I'm 45. It feels like, my very kid's going to go, yeah, that was what my dad used to listen to as in like and crooner from another time. But anyway, it's good.
Kind of annoys me when he does the third person songs about himself.
But. Oh yeah. I'm not big on the name Father John Misty either.
He didn't ask. All right. Next question. Last but not least, something you have purchased for under $1,500 that has changed your life. We usually increase this for some guests. Drop it down.
$50. I can tell you it right now. I bought a new tennis racket that has built in, the technology, shock absorption technology. Get rid of tennis elbow. Yeah, it's great. Technofiber, great racket.
What company?
Technofiber.
That is the company.
I know. I didn't know much about them either.
Company.
I know. Huh. They're big in Japan.
Wow.
No, they're not really? Big in Japan. I think they're big in Europe. But I think they're owned by there's a big story to go with the racket, but it was like owned in part by Lacoste or something like that. It's, apparently for any tennis fanatics out there or even fans, word on the street is Babolat is actually, those are garbage rackets. And I had a Babolat so Technofiber, it's a new big thing.
All right. Well, that's the year in review. That's your year in review for the Five Wire. And we're going to have another great season coming next year. I can't wait for this. We've got some already banger episodes.
We've lined up like 10. January. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got 10 in the works.
Super excited. We should take this time to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for sharing our podcast with your friends and family if you find it useful or find value in it. And also, thank you so much to our supporters over the past
year.
We've had lots of amazing people from the industry support us in a variety of different ways, but also support us through sponsoring the podcast, which helps us continue to create this content. So we really appreciate it. And yeah, looking forward to another great year.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys in 2025.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.